Hashem Be'elene Mamre. Hashem appeared to Avram in the plains of Mamre. V'hu Yoyshe Pesach Ha'oyel Kechayim Hayoy. And he was sitting by the opening of the tent when the day was hot. V'hisa Enom, and he lifted his eyes. V'yar, and he saw. V'hine Shloisha Noshem Nitzovim Olob. Behold, there were three men standing above him. Vayar he saw, vayorach lekrosam. He ran towards them. He pesach ha'oyo, vayistach war. So they bowed down to the ground. So Rashi says over here, v'hinei shloisha anoshim. Why three men? Echad levaser es Sora. One was to tell Sora the good news that she's going to give birth to a son, to Yitzchok. Ve'echad lahapach es zayin. And one to overturn zayin, to destroy zayin. Ve'echad l'rapa says Avram. She'ein malach echad oyser shtei shlichus. One malach cannot do two different missions. He can't accomplish two different missions. So each malach was given a separate mission. One to be mevaser Sara, one to overturn Zdayim, and one to cure Avram. And as Rashi says later on, the malach that went to cure Avram also went to save Lot. Apparently the Svarim say that was all one and the same, because Avraham Avinu's well-being was dependent on the saving of Lot. Now, always wondered, what's the pshat that a malach can't do two shlichas? I mean, a human being, you ask anybody, they can do two things at a time. You know, it's a thing called multitasking, and certainly by women, you know, women always complain that men can't do anything while they're on the phone. But and women are able to do that. Over there is such a thing as people could do two things at one time. So what's the pshat over here that a malach cannot do two shlichas? So the Svarim bring down that a human being could do two things at one time and a malach can't does not come because of the maila that a human being has over a malach. To the contrary, lehepach is because of the maila that the malach has over a human being. Because if a human being does two things at a time, as the pshat, he's not paying his full attention to each one of those things. Someone's on the phone and they're cooking, so they're on the phone to a certain degree. They're able to divide their attention, some of it to whom they're speaking, and the other to the cooking. And neither one of the two needs their full attention. But a malach, the very word malach means a shliach. He's on a mission. So by a malach, every single iota of his kaychus is placed into that mission. Memela, there is nothing left for anything else. The word malach means shliach. As a matter of fact, the word malach has in it two words. Mal is from the word milo, the word, and ach only. He is only fulfilling the word that he was given. He is only fulfilling that mission that was given over to him. There's nothing else. Because he puts his full kliches, he puts his full concentration into the shlichus in which he's doing. Memela ein malach ever oise bei shlichus. As a matter of fact, I once saw a pshat, that which we say in Kedusha, the Kadesh is Shimcha Ba'olam, Kishem Shemagdishim Ha'isoy B'Shmei Marim. Let us sanctify your name in this world, the same way the Malachim do in the other world. What does that mean, the same way they do? We don't really know exactly how they do it. Now, the pshat is, one thing we know about a Malach, that a Malach, whatever he does, he puts his full kindness into it. And the Mele by us, we want to accept upon ourselves that chiyuv, nekadesh Hashemcha ba'olam. We want to sanctify Hashem's name, that the same way he puts everything into his shlichus, we want to put everything into our shlichus. And that's the same thing over here, why a malach does not do two things at one time. It's yadua, the brisker rav, the kesadik, the kodesh levroche, by nanuim. He used to do the nanuim on Sukkis with his dalad minim. He used to do it b'chol koichai, mamish, back and forth and back and forth. And mamish akidei kach, that after he finished, he was tired out. So somebody once asked his son, why does your father do it with such koichis, mamish, like he puts everything into it? So he says, you don't understand. My father does everything with all of his koichis. It's not just the nanuim. Every avoda that my father does, every chelik of his avodas Hashem is with all of his concentration, is with all of his kaychus. You don't have to see by nanuim. But the emes is, in every one of his kaychas, he used to put full kaychas into it. That's the chat. There's a concept in halacha of ha'oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha'mitzvah. Someone that's oisik in a mitzvah is potter from any other mitzvah. A little bit difficult to understand. So, you know, you're Isaac with a mitzvah. So another mitzvah comes up, do the other thing, you'll come back to this mitzvah. But the teretz is, the true tzura of a Isaac with mitzvah is the chat that my full machshava, my full kaychas are into what I'm doing right now. And if I'm putting my full kaychas into what I'm doing right now, there is no room for any other mitzvah to take effect. You know, the Chofetz Chaim one time was Isaac in a Tzairich Mitzvah. I think he was Isaac in building a hospital, especially Yiddish hospital, and he was dealing with a few Askanim. So one of his Talmidim was with him, and he mentioned to him, he said, Rabbi, it's time for Mincha, you know, getting late. Chofetz Chaim didn't even acknowledge the comment, and he went on doing what he was doing. Short while later, the Talmud again tells the Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi, it's time for Mincha, it's getting late. And again, the Chofetz Chaim ignored him. Finally, he was holding Mamish Otot by this man. And again, he tells the Chofetz Chaim, he's man Mincha. So he says, I don't understand you. Ha'oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha'mitzvah. Someone that's oisik in a mitzvah is potter from any other mitzvah. And by the Chofetz Chaim, it wasn't just a saying. The Chofetz Chaim was involved roishe v'rubay into a mitzvah, and all of his kaychis and all of his concentration, his entire focus was in a mitzvah. Ha'oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha'mitzvah. This mission right now for him is being Isaac in the hospital. There is no room for anything else right now. That's the simple shot. You know, Isaac b'mitzvah, part of mitzvah. The Torah, in this week's parasha, gives us a glimpse into Avraham Avinu's Avaida. How Avraham Avinu mamash epitomized this yesod of doing the mitzvah of the Chol HaTaykif. You have a 100-year-old man, had a bris milah. He sees Orchem, he sees an opportunity for mitzvahs, gets up, he runs towards them, he says, what can I do for you? Runs to take care and to shech three bakar, which is an avoid in itself, runs to prepare three tongues. One tongue wouldn't be enough for all of them, it's a gigantic thing, each one had to have a separate one. Runs to Sarah, takes care of everything. And throughout everything, the Medrash tells us, the dam was mitatzke v'yayre. According to one Medrash, one of the bakar escaped, so he ran after it all the way to the Maris HaMachpele in Chevron, and that's when he found the Maris HaMachpele. But this was the intensity of Avraham Avinu's avodah, that when he got into it, he was totally orangutan in it. That's the shot. Someone that's a malach who treats his avodah like a malach, that is full concentration in all of his kaychas, is all involved in that avodah. You know, we wonder sometimes, how come we don't taste our avodah? How come we don't get that geschmack in our avodah? You know, we all want to learn, we all want to do good, we all want to study. Why don't we taste what we're doing? Why don't we have a feeling for it? So the emphasis is that the neshama can't always feel. That's a mistaken concept. You know, the neshama is covered by a guf. And in addition to that, with all the pressures in Olam Hazeh, the pressures of Parnos and other pressures, a lot of times it's very difficult to feel what we're doing. But one of the answers is gufa mahay taima, because we are not doing the avodah like malachim. The Chabina Rav once said, Shabina Rav's father, Rav Yankov Rimlover, was from the biggest poskim in Europe, and every one of his sons was mamish a goyin, mamish from the goyin hador, big poskim. So the Shabina Rav said, our father used to tell us when we were small, I don't expect you to learn 18 hours a day. I expect you to learn 4 hours a day. But those 4 hours, don't hang you learned. It should be with the full focus. And if you do that, you'll already want to learn 18 hours on your own. Because if you taste that time, because if you concentrate for those 4 hours, you're already going to taste that time on your own. I'm not going to have to tell you to learn 18 hours a day. You're already going to want to do it on your own. And it's the same thing with davening, with tefillah. You know, why don't we have that time in tefillah the way we would like? Because if we focus the way we, you know, fully, the full concentration, that time and tefillah would be in our mouths, and we on our own would want to do that. So Dabar Yadua, the Vilna Gaon says, what's the pshat in mitzvah gereres mitzvah? When a person does a mitzvah, he is surrounded by a ruach hakedusha. And it's a Dabar Yadua that kedusha attracts kedusha. And maybe if he did one mitzvah, and he's surrounded by a ruach of kedusha, and kedusha attracts more kedusha, maybe he's zayich to another mitzvah, and that leads to another mitzvah. Now, if kedusha attracts kedusha to a different mitzvah, kal v'chaymer, when a person is within the mitzvah itself, kal v'chaymer, it schleps him into the mitzvah even more. So if a person, a marshal, would start a Shemona Esrei with the idea to concentrate fully and put all of his koichas in to the first couple of brachas, that memela schleps him into the rest of the Shemona Esrei. And that time memela schleps him in. If a person starts learning, and the Haskalah Salimun is with the full concentration, with the concentration of a malach, so the Ruach HaKdush and memela schleps him weiter into that bit. There's a Nifla Dike Medrash over here on this, these first few psukim, that Avram Avinu is Achnosis Orchim. The Torah starts and says, Vayisa'ena Vayar, Hine Shloisha Anoshim Nitzovim Olov. The simple shot was they were standing by him. At the end, it says, Vuhu Aymed Aleyah. He was standing over them. Simple shot is, he was originally sitting, and they stood nearby, and he ran towards them. Then when they sat down and ate, he stood above them serving them. But the Medrash darshens it differently. The Medrash says, in the beginning, before he did these mitzvahs, b'chol ha-taykeh with all of his strength, the Malachim stood on a higher madrega than him. But after he finished with the mitzvah, v'hu oymeid aleihem, he stood on a higher madrega than them. That's the madrega that a person could reach to be higher than the Malachim. I must mention this a number of times, but the Shimon Sofer, the youngest son of the Chassam Sofer, he, as a bacher, he kept a little notebook of the stories and the divrei Torah that the Chassam Sofer told him about his rabbeinu. So one time he was in the middle of writing. Chassam Sofer walks in, he sees him writing, he says, let me see what you have over there. Picks up the notebook, and he sees that Shimon is writing, I heard from my father, Shlita, about his Rebbe, the Tzaddik, the Malach Elokim, Hagoyin Rav Moshe Adler. So Chassam Sofer says to him, this German is Yiddish Fass. What? You call my Rebbe a Malach? There's not one Malach in Shemayim that reached the Madrega of my Rebbe. You know, one would think he'd say, yeah, don't get carried away. Malach is a little bit high. No. Lehepach. There's not one Malach that reached the Madrega of my Rebbe. That's this Medrash over here, that if a person does something with all of his intensity, v'hu oymed aleihem, he stood above them, he stands on a Madrega higher than a Malach. Pasuk goes on, says, Avraham Avinu said, yukach no ma'at mayim. Let a little bit of water be taken, v'rachatzu ragleichem, and wash your feet, v'yishanu tachasa'ech, and rest under the tree. A little bit hard to understand. By everything else, Avraham Avinu was so generous. Shechted three cows, so that each one of the guests should have a cow on his own. But when it came to the water, all of a sudden, then he wasn't so generous. Yukach no ma'at mayim. A little bit of water. Why only a little bit of water? Why is it that by the water he wasn't generous? So I saw a very cute shot, the Sefer Leib Shalom from Rav Shalom Shvadron. He said, of course, Avraham Avinu was generous with the water as well, but it was a matter of being polite. He couldn't say, take a lot of water to wash your feet. You know, oh, those feet really need a lot of washing. You better take a lot of water. That wouldn't be a polite thing to say. So when he said "Veracha Tzuragweichem," he said it in a polite manner. Yukach no ma'at mayim. Take a little bit of water and wash your feet. That's a pshat that he brings down. But there's other svarim that say a different pshat over here. It's a pia maisa. Two maises that happened to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Number one, it's Yadur. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to be very machmir. He used to use a lot of water when he washed netilas yadayim. So it came as a surprise to a couple of his talmidim. Well, one time they were out of town, they were about to daven mincha, and they noticed that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was washing mamish to the bare knuckles. He hardly used any water in washing before mincha. They wondered about it. And after davening, they said, Yilandenu Rabbeinu, you know, Tayri, Velumen on the Tzrikit, We want to hear what's the pshat. Usually we know that the Rebbe is makbid and using a lot of water. Why if it's over here he only used a little bit, the bare minimum? Shaul said, you're right. I usually am makbid. Chazal say, fill up your hands mole mayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mamala your hands mole bracha. As I state in Chazal. And usually takam makbid to use a lot of water. But over here I noticed how the water gets here. There's an old man that comes with these two big buckets and he slurps the water over here. So the more water I use, the more he's going to have to work. He says, I don't want to be a tzaddik on his cheshbon. The minor deal is your daim should be a geirim, that he should have to work harder. That I'm not willing to do. Remember, I settle for the bare minimum lahalacha right now. When I'll be on my own turf and I'm going to have to bring the water and it won't be on Yanim's cheshbon, then I'll use a lot of water. That was one ma'aseh with Rabbi Shaul Salanter. I'm not being a tzaddik on somebody else's cheshbon. There's another ma'aseh, also happened with Rabbi Shaul Salanter, that he was once away from home. In the city where he was, there was a very wealthy man that was a former Talmud of his, and he wanted very much that his Rebbe should be with them for the Shabbos Suda. So he goes to invite his Rebbe, Rebbe, please, you know, we'd love you, grace our Suda. So Rishol's hesitant, and he says, tell me the Seder Hadvarim by your Suda, I should know if it's for me. He's surprised at the suggestion. He says, come home from davening, we don't sit down to eat right away. First we have a little bit of a Seder Halimut. And then afterwards we say Shalom Aleichem, we make Kiddush. And then there's Divrei Torah, there's Zmiris, and they bring out the fish. Then more Divrei Torah, more Zmiris, and they bring out the soup. More Divrei Torah, more Zmiris. Then the main dish, more Divrei Torah, finally the dessert at the end. So Rishol said, he says, that kind of a suit I can't handle. He says, if you do everything, b'masachas, hainu, kiddush, fish, soup, meat, dessert right away, you know, then I can handle. Okay. Talmud was wondering about that, but he wanted to have his Rebbe by the Suda. Comes back on Friday night, quick, rush, kiddush, fish, soup, you know, main course, dessert. After the dessert, Rishon Salanta says, okay, now we can sing all we want. Now we can say Zmiris. We can say Divrei Torah all we want. Now there's plenty of time. So the host is wondering. He says, Rebbe, he says, if any way we're going to sing and any way we're going to say Divrei Torah, so what did the Rebbe see wrong with the way I do things? So he says, can you do me a favor? Could you call the cook in from the kitchen, please? They called the cook in. Let's say her name was Mrs. Goldberg. So Rishol says, Shuldik's Mrs. Goldberg, I have to ask you for mechila. She says, the Rebbe has to ask me for mechila for what? So I have to ask you for mechila, I feel very bad. Every week, you have so much time between the courses to prepare, you're not rushed, you're able to take your time. And tonight, you were rushed from one course to the next, I feel bad, I have to ask you for mechila. Oh, Rebbe, 100 brachas should come down on the Rebbe's head, you did me the biggest favor. Says, usually, every Friday night, it takes so long that by the time I'm finished and I finally get home, my husband is already tired. His mom, she has no koyach for the Suda. I have no koyach for our Suda Shabbos. We can't enjoy the Suda Shabbos. But tonight, there's so much time left over, I'm going to be able to come home. My husband will be awake. I'll be awake. For the first time in a long time, we're going to enjoy the Suda Shabbos. Oh, thank you, thank you. And she left Kachabbos. She turns to the host and he says, you see what I mean? It's a beautiful thing. Zmiras Shabbos. It's a beautiful thing, Divrei Torah. But you have to know it's on somebody else's cheshbon. You know, if it could be done in a different way, where it's not on somebody else's cheshbon, that's gargoyle. Maybe they say the same shot over here. Whatever Avraham Avinu did on his own, Belabokar Rots Avraham, or whatever, so that he did B'chol HaTokif, that he did with full, with wholeheartedness, with a gevaldig in the Divas Halei. But the water Avraham Avinu didn't carry by himself. By the water it says, Yukach Noma Akmayim. That was done through somebody else. The Melech, somebody else has to do it. Avraham Avinu didn't want to be a tzaddik on somebody else's cheshbon. Says, Yukach Noma Akmayim. He'll already leave it up to the other person to decide how much water he brings. They state in the Svar. Chazal learned from the Hachnosis Orchim of Avraham Avinu a nifla dikit thing. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amen Aleph, and also Masechta Shavuos, Daf Lamed Hei Amid Beis, says Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, "Gdoila Hachnosis Orchim Yoiser Mikabolas Pnei Hashchina." Hachnosis Orchim is greater than Kabolas Pnei Hashchina. Why? You see, from Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu is in the middle of talking to Hashem, and in the middle he says, "You know, Hashem, I'm not so if you want shot." In Rashi, "Im no matzosi chen beinecha al masaber," Hashem, please don't leave. I have to take care of the orchim. See, he left the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of the guests. Fine. We can see that from over here. But what's Hakadosh Pshat? How is it possible that a mitzvah of Achnosis Orchim, greeting regular people and treating them nicely, is greater than speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How's that shaykh? Sir Rav Dessler, in Michtav Meliyo, explains Givaldik. He says, Ruvain and Shimon both have a common friend, Levi. Ruvain loves Levi and Shimon loves Levi. Reuven invites Levi for dinner. Shimon invites Levi's son for dinner. Which one of the two is expressing greater ahava to Levi? Is it Reuven that invited Levi, or is it Shimon that invited Levi's son? Is Zichra Shimon that invited Levi's son? Reuven shows his ahava, his yedidus to Levi. But Shimon shows that not only does my ahava go to Levi, but my ahava to Levi extends to his children as well. That's the pshat in Gdoila Hachnosis Orchim, Yoyser Mekabolos Bnei Hashchina. Someone that's Mekabol Hashchina, he loves Hashem, he has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But someone that's Mekayim, the Mitzvah of Hachnosis Orchim, he shows that not only do I have a Chavivus, not only do I have a Ahavat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but my Ahavat extends to his children as well, to his Brias as well. That's Gdoila Hachnosis Orchim, Yoyser Mekabolos Bnei Hashchina. Vayigar Shavron, when Avraham Avinu found out the terrible news that Sdom was going to be destroyed, Vayigash Avraham Vayoymar, Avraham Avinu steps forward to Davin HaKadosh Baruch when he said, "Ha'af Tisveh Tzadik Im Rasha, will you also destroy a Tzadik with a Rasha? Ula Yesh Chamishim Tzadikim B'Soicha Yir." Maybe there's 50 Tzadikim. Vayoymar Hashem, "Im Emtsa B'Sdom Chamishim Tzadikim B'Soicha Yir, if I will find in Sidon 50 Tzadikim in the city, V'Nosasi L'Chol HaMokim Ba'avura, I'll save the whole place because of them." So Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld Zatzal asks a question: how's it possible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say "Im Emtsa B'Sdom," if I will find in Sidon? Smash me if I will find Washin Osif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the machshavos of everybody. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to look into the future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now befanav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how many tzaddikim there are. He's Yegeya Yetzer Kol HaYetzurim. He knows the insides. He knows the machshavos. He knows the mandrega of every one of his creations. So what does it mean, lashon of im emtsa? Furthermore, why was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be matriach Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu first asked for 50, and then he asked for 45, and then he asked for 40, and down, till finally, Avraham Avinu comes to the conclusion, together with Hashem, that there aren't even a minion. Why did Hashem tell him right away? There are no 10 people here that are able to save the city. Why do I have to have this whole conversation and wait and make the cheshbon? So Reish Chaim Zonnefeld says, "Amayu deki yisoyit." You see from over here, how great is the koyach habechira of a person. How great is his power of choice that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot decide right now that he's a Rasha until the final moment when it's Negev. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say an Emtsa on the future? Because it wasn't Negev yet this second to destroy Sidon. So by the time, when the time comes to destroy Sidon, the person has the Kayach HaBechira to change. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "In Emtsa, if by that final moment, if I taka find that there's enough tzaddikim that do tshuva, I will not destroy it." And this is why you have to have the whole conversation with Avraham Avinu. Because at any given moment, until the final moment, it's never kavua that a person is not going to do tshuva. It's possible for the person to do tshuva until that final moment. See, he didn't give Avraham Avinu the tshuva right now. No, there aren't any tzaddikim. Because by the time it's Negeya, it's shaykh, there will be tzaddikim. Famous mission in Masechtas Kiddushin, Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis, Ho'omer Lo Isha, if a fellow tells a woman, "Hareat Mekudeses Li, Al Menashani Tzaddik," You are mekudeshes to me on the condition that I am a tzaddik. Afilu rosh gomer mekudeshes. Even by the rosh gomer, you have to be chayshish for the kedushin. Why? Shema hira tshuva b'libay. Maybe he did tshuva. On the outside, it looks like he's a rosher. V'yafal pikein. Chazal say that even the biggest rosher is shayach shema hira b'tshuva. The Mela, that's why over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't say right now there are no tzaddikim. You don't have any tzaddikim because the time had not yet come. The time was still coming, and by that time it's still shayach that people will do tshuva. And that's why he stretched it out in the shach with the tarya in the conversation together with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu uses a lashon, v'onoichi ofor v'efer. And I am dust and ashes. So the Gemara says, Gemara Masechtas Chulin dav peches amid beis. On our road, bischar shomer Avraham Avinu, v'onoichi ofor v'efer. With the schar that Avraham Avinu said, that I am dust and ashes, zochu bonav l'shtei mitzvahs. His descendants were zoichet to two mitzvahs. Efer para, the ashes of the para aduma, because he said v'anoichi efer, v'afar soita, and the dust of the soita that was poured into the mayim amarim that clarified that she was Torah to her bow. So you have to understand, what's the midah connected midah over here? Why? Because he said v'anoichi ofer v'efer, because that he was zoichet to these two mitzvahs. So last year I mentioned the pshat from the Dubna Magid. Dubin the Maggid says, Moshul Amad Avri Daimon. There's a fellow that made a big chasna for his son, and he invited many chashev people, and Al Kulam, he invited a yid that was a chashev at Gadol Batayra. Besides being a Gadol Batayra, he was a tremendous anav. The fellow comes to the Suda, the host wants to seat him up on the dais with all the chashuvim, and this fellow, he couldn't fathom being given the covet. He said, I can't sit up there, please, I just want to sit in the little vinkel on the side, with, you know, regular seat. I don't want any chashivas or kavod. So he sits down on the side, but the balabas part wanted to give him the kavod. So Taich the Chasana, he rearranged all the seats, and he made it that all of the chashuvim came off of the head table, and they came to sit around his gadol, you know, on the side where he was. It's the same thing with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the greatest tzaddik, the greatest Eved Hashem, but he was a tremendous honor. An Eichi Ofer Ve'efer, and he didn't take any kavod for himself. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He took the lowest of the low, he took the Ofer Ve'efer, and he elevated it to become great mitzvahs, so that Avraham Avinu, who said an Eichi Ofer Ve'efer, Ofer and Efer became two chashuv things. Ofer became the Ofer that was matir and Isha Levaila, and Efer became the ashes that were matir Klal Yisrael to be able to eat kosher. He took those things that were chachila in the Seder were not kosher things, and Avraham Avinu, who sat himself together with the Ofer of Efer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Ofer of Efer Dvorim Chashuv. This is what the Dubna Magid says. But Vasav is Dachya offer Saita and Efer Paraduma. That it doesn't explain. So the Beis Halevi says, Amari the Kipshat. There's a difference between Ofer and Efer. What is the difference? Efer, ashes, is something that once upon a time was kosher. Could have been part of a building, could have been part of furniture. And it burnt down, and now it doesn't have chashivas. So Efer had a past, but it doesn't have a future. Ashes you can't really do anything with. Ofer is just the opposite. Right now it's dust. Right now it's dust. But if you put it together with other things, you compile it together, it can become a whole mound, it can become other things. So Ofer doesn't have a past, but it does have a future. When Avraham Avinu said, V'anoichi Ofer v'Efer, he was taking the chesroinus of both. V'anoichi Ofer, I don't have a past, v'Efer, and I don't have a future. He was using the chesroinus of both to show what he is. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Midah keneged midah. He gave him the mitzvah of Ofer Saita. What does the Ofer of Saita do? It clarifies the past, that the lady was not mezana with her husband, and that she's not, she was mutter all along. She was innocent all along. The Efer of Parah Aduma, it is metair for the future. So b'schus that Avraham Avinu said, I have no past, I was lowly in my past, for that he was given the upper saita that's mevara, that the saita was clean in the past. The Efer of Paraduma, b'schus that Avraham Avinu said that I have no future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah to his children that are retired of children, mikano abo. Most of the pshat manoichi of Efer. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.